Praise be Jesus and Mary.
Amen.
The prayer of the church at the beginning of this Mass begins with the words, O God, who willed that your only begotten Son undergo the cross for the salvation of the human race. Let's reflect on these words of the opening prayer for just a few moments. And first, we'll do some pure theology, and then we'll go on to apply that theology to a concrete takeaway. So first, from all eternity, God wants and decrees the incarnation. God wants to become man, to share all that is ours, to take on our human nature, so as to make us share in that which is his divine nature. He becomes a son of man so as to make us sons and daughters of God. From all eternity, God wants this and decrees this. His incarnation of an immaculate virgin, a worthy mother. Now, in the execution of that plan, nothing is unexpected for God, but for the sake of anthropomorphism, let's say something unexpected happens. Mankind, who's supposed to share in that amazing exchange, God gives us that which is his divinity, by taking on that which is ours, our humanity. Mankind, in that amazing exchange, sins. So that's the original sin of Adam and Eve, and then all the subsequent sins of humanity. But despite that unexpected turn of events, God still perseveres in his plan of becoming man, a son of man, so as to make us sons and daughters of God. Despite sin, not because of it, despite sin, because now God, in order to carry out his plan, take on human nature, has to take on suffering, because the human condition after sin becomes a condition of misery. The human condition becomes a condition of suffering and pain and death. And despite that, God still wants to become man so as to give us the capability of becoming his sons and daughters. So that was the theological part. Let's now apply that to something practical. What is the takeaway? The takeaway is the following, that it's never because of evil that God does good. It's rather despite evil that God brings about good. Not because of it, but despite of it. So going back to the incarnation, it's not because of evil, it's not because of sin that God decrees the incarnation. It's despite of sin. And that manner of acting, God's economy of grace, doesn't change for any other decision. It's always despite evil that God brings about good, not because of it. God doesn't need evil to make good happen, and neither do we. And this might sound abstract, but it's actually very concrete, because if we examine our consciences, well, I don't know, examine your own. Maybe this doesn't apply to you, but frequently it applies to Catholics. In the sense that we, or Catholics, think that in the end, you know, in certain situations, we really do need sin in order to either prevent a greater evil or to make something good happen. Just observing God's law in every circumstance can really cause some big problems, you know. So we have to sometimes deviate from that and commit sins here and there to really rectify things. There are situations in which, and this is an erroneous way of thinking, let me remind you, I'm just trying to express an erroneous way of thinking. Sometimes Catholics may think, well, in this situation, if I don't lie, I'm gonna have a big problem. I better lie. If in this situation I don't have my revenge, I'm gonna have big problems. I better have my revenge. If in this situation, and this is maybe a subtle one, but if in this situation I don't entertain a distraction in prayer, I might miss an opportunity to solve some big problem. I better entertain this distraction in prayer. If I don't steal, if I don't whatever. on a small scale, on a subtle scale, and on a big scale, this is very present in the lives of Catholics. Parenthetically, on a big scale, it's actually very much so a problem in the church today, that the error that sometimes it's actually God himself who wants people to sin, either because of, let's say, I don't know, don't want to go into examples at great length, but sometimes either because of an orientation with which somebody is born, God wants that person to sin, or because of circumstances that arise in life, God wants that person to sin. Think of broken marriages, so-called irreparably broken marriages, and new adulterous relations in which God wants people to commit adultery to avoid some greater evil. You know, theology tries to categorize both truth and error into precise categories, and it's got a name for everything. This type of error, that God wants people to sin in certain circumstances to avoid an even greater evil, has a very specific name of its own, and it's called bunch of baloney. That's what it is. God doesn't need evil to bring about good. God doesn't want evil to bring about good. And if it's true that even if we sin, not everything is lost, it's also true, and even more true, that when we do sin, nothing is gained. Absolutely nothing is gained. Not everything is lost when we sin, but something is lost. Think of the incarnation. Because of sin, now we have forever lost that state of original justice. For us now, we have lost that interior order that Adam and Eve had before the fall. For us now, forever, life on earth will be a veil of tears. We lost that original innocence, and we gained nothing because the incarnation would have happened anyway without our sin. So, without repeating myself too much, God doesn't want evil. God doesn't need evil. Neither do we. All the good that happens in our lives is never because of sin, but despite of it. And if it's true that not everything is lost when we sin, it's also true, and even more true, that nothing, absolutely nothing, is gained when we do commit sin. Praised be Jesus and Mary, now and